Brad?
No, his name's Adam.
Okay. Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's October 11, 2021 regular city council meeting. We're broadcasting live from Othello, Washington. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom for our city council as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1D on our agenda is roll call, and all the council members are present except for Angel Garza. It was his wife's birthday, so he's out of town. So could I entertain a motion to excuse Angel tonight?
Second that.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1DE is citizen input. Is there any citizen tonight who... This is a portion of the city council meeting where you can address the city council with any issue you like. We also are having a public hearing on the ARPA funds, and you will have an opportunity to speak during those times. But is there anyone here present who would like to address the city council? If you'll raise your hand. Okay, hearing none. Let's move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 3, which is our consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now let's move along to item 4A, which is less than lethal equipment grant application. Tonight we have our police chief, Phil Schenck, and we also have our grant writer administrator, Talia Lemus. Talia, are you going to go first, or is Chief?
Mayor and Council, thank you. What Talia is bringing in front of you is a grant to accomplish a need that we've identified within the police department. When the governor and the legislature approved this last round of laws, one of the laws had to do with military equipment. And the law is so poorly worded that it actually says that any firearm that's 50 cal or greater is illegal for police use. What they failed to understand is that our less lethal weapons are beanbag rounds, are 12 gauge, which is bigger than 50 cal, and it's a firearm, and the grenade launchers that are designed to launch a beanbag and knock somebody down instead of killing them that we were budgeted to purchase are also illegal. So every police department in the state is scrambling to find a less lethal or less than lethal solution that we can use instead of shooting somebody. Our preference is that we not kill them. What we've come up with is what's called a pepper ball. There's several vendors. We've actually demoed them. Talia even got to shoot it. And she was actually not a bad shot. So this, what it is a plastic, looks like a paintball. It's full of heavy powder along with OC, which is pepper spray powder. There's inert and there's the pepper version. Both of them are designed to incapacitate or hurt instead of kill. It looks like a good platform, so we've asked Talia to put a grant together for that.
Thank you, Chief.
Hi, City Council. So the grant is, we're going to be requesting $20,000. It looks like Commerce has allocated over $1 million, approximately $1 million for to award many cities, and not to exceed $200,000 per city. And so what they're looking at, what we're looking at is $20,000. We got a quote for 18 of them, which includes the training and all of the requirements that we need to satisfy the grant. So that is included in the quote.
So you're looking for a motion to approve this submission?
Yes, application is due October 15th, this Friday.
I'd make the motion to approve the submission of the less than lethal grant application. Say that three times.
Thank you, Gina. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. It's now moved to item 4B, which is the public hearing on allocation of ARPA funds. I'd like to open that public hearing at 6:39 PM. And Talia Lemus, our grant administrator, grant writer, is going to give a staff report.
Can I take this down?
Yeah, you can take it.
All right, so last time I spoke to city council about ARPA funds, it was in July. So we have received lots of more information on ARPA, especially what other cities are doing. So I'm really excited to share that information with you so that way we could kind of see what, you know, other cities are doing. So first, just for the public that did not get to review or view the presentation back in July, the city of Othello will be receiving $2,348,935. And in June, we already received the first tranche of $1.17 million. And we are expected to receive the second tranche in June of 2022. There are specific eligible uses for ARPA funds, for public health, economic hardship, revenue loss, premium pay, water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. And we can go more into detail, such as, you know, containing COVID-19 and addressing other urgent public health needs, supporting families, small businesses, and hardest-hit industries, providing vital public services to the extent of revenue lost during the pandemic, offering enhanced compensation for the health and financial risk that essential workers face, and investing in key infrastructure to deliver clean water and reliable broadband internet access. What we shared back in July was that approximately three-fourths of our total grant that we received for the CARES Act, we spent it on providing business grants to our small businesses in Othello. So our first round, we spent $125,000 on business grants, then $62,500, and then $35,000. And we only allocated $153,000 of our total grant funding for city expenses. Our staff recommendation list, I did not change it from the presentation that we gave back in July. We still kept it with the same cost, the same priority numbers, and the city match. And just to talk about a few of them, we really still, we wanted to keep that holdback contingency there, which is what we can use for some of the feedback that we received to include some more expenses that we could use the holdback contingency for that. But other than that, all of these items on this list are eligible uses of ARPA funding. So that is really great news. To move forward, I did leave these slides in just for the purpose of the public. If they ever want to just go back and just kind of give a little bit more information on our staff recommendations and why we proposed each of these items. Now, I wanted to bring to the council some of the feedback that we received since the July meeting. And these are the items that we received. So first, we had the People for People come and present to city council requesting $5,000. We also heard from community members and some of our staff that can support the ham radio for $30,000. The Columbia Basin Development League also came in and requested $12,000. And PD really needs some body cams replaced, and we are looking at an approximate cost of $33,000 for that. When we had the Rotary Club and the Lions Club here presenting on the Community Reader Board, they did request potential funding for a second Community Reader Board. Good news, they were able to raise all the funding for the first community reader board, so they are in the works on providing that down on Main Street, 14th and Main. But they are really looking forward to raising enough money to be able to do the second community reader board on First Avenue. In that meeting, council did preliminary, say preliminary $50,000 for a community reader board, so we wanted to include that there. We also had a discussion on the Othello Holiday Committee and the Christmas event and parade, providing $10,000, which that would bring a huge tourism. That's a huge tourism event that happens in the city of Othello, so allocating $10,000 for the Othello Holiday Committee seemed reasonable. So in total, that's $140,000 of what we received since our presentation in July. So I've been, this is not updated. Okay, well, I'm going to go to this one. So City of Walla Walla, I have been talking to lots of different cities and attending lots of webinars and just to kind of see what everybody is doing so we can bounce ideas back off of each other and so that way we can have a better idea of what we want to do. The City of Walla Walla talked about how they are going to be receiving a total funds of $8 million and what they are going to be using the funds for is lost revenue backfill. They are going to do some enhancements and resurfacing and redesigning the parking lot area of their senior center. It looks like their senior center started doing drive-through operations in response to COVID-19, and they want to continue to do so. So they want to add some ADA accessibility components to that parking lot, and so that way they can continue doing the drive-through lunches. The First Avenue Plaza, this was really exciting to hear from Walla Walla what they did when COVID started. They used their First Avenue Plaza as a outdoor dining for all of the restaurants in the downtown area. They purchased chairs, tables, and umbrellas with their CARES Act funding, and they made First Avenue kind of a temporary plaza, but now they're looking at making First Avenue a permanent plaza gathering space with ARPA funds. They also have the Mill Creek Sportsplex, and they're going to be building 8 pickleball courts, and they're going to be adding parking to support the expansion of the Sportsplex. And then Heritage Square, they're going to be building a downtown park and outdoor recreation, which supports tourism as well as promoting outside activities. And last but not least, they're also going to be adding some parking enforcement officers and 3 PD positions. They're going to purchase a new fire engine and other equipment, and then they're also going to support utility account delinquency. One interesting note that Walla Walla made was that they will not be using their ARPA funds to support business, small business grants, because that's what they use their CARES Act funding for. So they are going to be using their ARPA funds to do other major improvements that have been in the works for many years now. They also talked about the second half preliminary projects that they identified for the second tranche. So the first tranche they received $4 million. The second tranche they're going to receive another $4 million. And they're looking at support 24/7 operations at sleep centers, city hall structural retrofit, sidewalk gaps, Pioneer Park improvements, library additions, body cameras, nonprofit support, and broadband. So those are just preliminary projects that they've identified, but they haven't really committed to them yet. I believe the slide for Lakewood is a little bit is not accurate, but Lakewood is actually doing a little bit of opposite from Walla Walla. They are going to be donating quite a bit of the monies to help support the Boys and Girls Club. They also have lots of homeless shelters that they're going to be providing some funding for. They're going to be doing some housing assistance. So a lot of, that type of expense where they're going to be helping people in need. But they also are going to be allocating $35,000 for their website and trying to make their communication efforts a lot stronger and bilingual for that population that they serve that is bilingual. And they're also going to be allocating $160,000 for two community reader boards. So I thought that was really interesting to hear that there's another city doing something that we are considering doing as well. So $160,000 for two community reader boards that they're going to be putting one in the entrance and at the two entrances that they have at Lakewood. One thing that was really interesting about Lakewood is when they were developing their ARPA funds, they shared that they were trying to do something different than what the federal and state level will be doing. They didn't want to duplicate any efforts or any funding that you can possibly retrieve or be granted through the federal state level. So with that, I wanted to talk about some of the federal ARPA allocations. So the federal government will be allocating $37.5 billion for housing, so homeowners, renters, and persons experiencing homelessness. They're also going to be doing unemployment compensation, the child tax credit, small businesses tax credit programs, emergency capital investment programs, and paycheck protection programs. So that is what the federal level will be allocating some of their ARPA funds for. And Washington State has talked about allocating $658 million to extend the state's rental assistance program, $187 million to help prevent foreclosure, $1.7 billion for reopening, addressing learning loss and other education costs for schools, $528 million for child care grants and provider rates, $500 million in state funds for unemployment insurance benefit relief, $170 million for family leave during the period of the pandemic, $340 million for grants to adults who have been impacted by COVID-19, and then $1.1 billion for the vaccine deployment, recruitment of public health workers, contract tracing, and testing. So I thought it was really important for us to be aware of some of the allocations that Washington State and the federal government will be allocating the ARPA funds in case we decide that we don't want to duplicate any of their efforts, because there are going to be assistance out there in the state and federal level. I know that they are still working on guidance on how they're going to roll out these programs. Right now, Treasury has issued that we have until December 31st of 2024 to have the funds obligated, but we have until December 31st of 2026 to expend the funds. So lots of the state agencies that are going to be rolling out some of these funding assistance, I know that they are still waiting for some guidance on how exactly they're going to be rolling some of this out, but our plan is definitely, as we receive information, to share it with the public so that they know what's out there. So that concludes my presentation. Is there any questions, comments, ideas?
Thank you, Talia.
I had a quick question.
Yeah.
You said that it's until December of 24 to spend that money?
To obligate them, for us to know what we're going to
spend. So that money doesn't have to be spent this year?
No.
Oh, awesome.
We have until December 31st of 2026 to spend all the funds.
Okay. Spencer, do you want to let the council know how we're keeping track of those funds and how those are separated?
Yeah, this question just came up recently. All of the ARPA funds, like this slideshow, we've received $1.17 million so far, or back in June of this year. And we have a separate fund set up to collect all these ARPA revenues. And so this money is separate from any other money that we have. We create a restricted revenue because it's given to us, but it's given to us for specific purposes that we have used for supporting. So it's received in this fund that will be expensed directly out of that fund.
Okay, City Council, do you have any questions, or do you want to have any discussion on any of these items, or? Okay, I believe we're gonna now open the public testimony portion, and I understand that the Ham Radio Club President? No.
Treasure
is here with a presentation. So, Saddle Mountain Amateur Radio Club. tall resume.
Thank you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Paul Resume. I appreciate your time. Appreciate ladies and gentlemen and the mayor and the city council for this opportunity. I don't know about you, but that's the first time I've seen a breakdown. That was very informative. We're here to talk about ham radio and how our club, we think, can help our community and what we are all about. We named ourselves the Saddle Mountain Amateur Radio Club for the local area. In Washington State Amateur Radio Club, it's a nonprofit organization. It was founded in 2019. What got me into ham radio was actually what happened during Katrina. And I was really worried about emergencies happening, and we need to be aware of that as well in our area. We are seeing emergencies happen, and what could happen to us? If you remember back at Katrina, their immediate needs were food, shelter, water, and communications. In that order, those are the items that they needed the most. After Hurricane Katrina, because of power outages, local communications were decimated. They had nothing. If you think about it, how many people in our community still have a landline that you can pick up a phone? Very few. If the power were to go out, what communication do we have? Cell phones are out. We literally have nothing. Local amateur radio was the only way in Katrina to communicate for 37 days. I want you to remember that 37 days. So Othello, are we prepared? Can we think of a disaster that would dramatically affect Othello? One event that would literally put us in trouble. And are we ready? I don't think we are. And that's the reason why we believe in ham radio. It has always been there and it will always be there. It operates without power. It's what communications is a great background plan and a backup plan, excuse me. Amateur radio operators provide volunteer operations, support many local agencies like emergency management, National Weather Service, Hurricane Watch, and the Red Cross. Ham radio equipment and volunteers are a resource to the city. We love the heart of a volunteer, and that is what our whole club is about, volunteering communication. And it also offers reliable communication. It's not by accident. It comes by the way of training and regular use, and that's what our club is all about. Communications doesn't just come together real fast. It has to be used often. So our values, what's our club all about? We value improving communications. We believe in the Othello community and our surrounding areas. Increasing membership, we want to honestly get more members and train people on how to use emergency radios. Provide education and training in our community and support current emergency communications. We want to be a support, not a substitute. Our goal is to increase amateur membership, training again, repeaters and equipment. We need more equipment to do the goals that we want. We also want to be off-grid. We really do believe someday the power will be out. We don't know if it's for 37 days, but we believe it will happen. And then what? To do that, we need some solar items and some batteries to do that. And also, again, to be a resource to the Adams County Emergency Management System. At the bottom, emergencies happen. Are we prepared? Saddle Mountain Amateur Radio Club, if you're interested, you're welcome to go to our Facebook page that's listed there. We have a weekly net where we communicate weekly already. We have monthly meetings in person and over Zoom. We've had to be flexible with COVID as well. And we also help one another so that our equipment is up and running. Individual equipment is owned and operated by the individuals, but the repeaters is owned by the club itself. And of course, we offer training and classes. We don't want it just to be us. We want to train more and more of our community members. A lot of people ask the question, what's the difference between ham and amateur radio? Well, it's really simultaneous. It's the same. Amateur ham radio is the ability to communicate across the street, around the world. I'm going to go through this slide pretty quick. I don't think we need to really read everything. But cell phones will go down someday, and amateur radio will always be up. And yes, we can communicate locally, statewide, and worldwide. So if something happens, we will still work. Interesting thing, just as a fun note about ham radio, where did ham come from? It goes like this. At the very bottom, you see the word ham is applied to it in 1908. It was the call of the first amateur wireless station operated by some amateurs in the Harvard Radio Club. They were Albert H. Hyman, Bob, I might say this wrong, Alminy, and Poogie Murray. At first, they called their station Hominy Alminy Murray, and so they became a ham. That's where it came from. So to talk about the different layers, if I were to bring you and teach you all that we can about ham radio, I would break it down into four different categories. Maybe some of you are familiar with just little GMRS radios, little radios that you can carry with your family. By the way, GMRS stands for General Mobile
Radio Service.
Radio Service. Thank you, John. And that, we actually have a plan in our area for that. Boy, this red dot's not very good, but we want to put up a repeater in our local area for our GMRS users, someone that just can pick up a radio and use it. Thank you. Does it work? Yeah, much better. Thank you. Another layer is the very high frequency. It's that you have to have a license for. That's what we do. And that would just be like for the low area. That goes about 5 to 20 miles. Okay. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We've already done some of that. The next layer is the ultra high frequency, another license that a ham gets. And it's for the Columbia Basin. It can go about 20 to 50 miles in the Columbia Basin. And then another layer that's even higher is the amateur high frequency, general and extra layers of licensing. And that's really statewide and worldwide communications. We have a plan for each one of these layers. For the local Othello area, we want to set up a GMRS repeater. And that would handle all of the area basically in Othello. It can actually go down into, like, the golf course. It can go farther than that, but we really want to focus on where our major population is at first. They use handhelds to communicate to get to the repeater. The distance is about 1 to 5 miles. I don't know if many of you know that, but it's really line of sight. They're very limited. But with a repeater, you can do much farther. They're for individuals. Individual can just pick one up and buy a $35 license, and for the family, you can communicate. The license, it used to be $70, and it's going to change to $35. That's a state. Excuse me. U.S. country is going to change it for that licensing fee. It's by the end of the year. Our second layer is a VHF repeater. Now, because of our club and individual donations, and actually the city has already given us some money, we were able to get a repeater up and running for the Othello area. It's running right now. It is a VHF repeater. It looks just like this. It sits up on Radar Hill, and it's an amateur license. You have to have a license to operate and get on that repeater. It is maintained and operated by our club. That's another benefit. We maintain it, keep it up and running. But again, it does require a license. You have to take a test, and we want to get more and more people licensed to take that test. Great layer of communication. Our next layer is kind of zooming out. We want to put another one up on maybe Wahita's Peak or somewhere and repeat even farther, get a bigger region. The reason for that is so we can communicate with our neighbors better. We think that in emergency would be necessary. Right now we can do it, but we want our own to maintain. And that's about, again, 20 to 50 miles. It'll reach us down to Tri-Cities, clear up to Ephrata, and that we need more equipment for. That, again, requires a license to operate on that repeater. The last layer is a level four, what we call, and that's where it's state and worldwide communications. Distance is, again, the important part of that. We need some more equipment to do that. We are hoping to buy what we call a shack in the box, where the radio all comes in that box. We can set it up here or anywhere and just really communicate worldwide. It's deployable at the Othello City Hall. If the power were to go out, our poor police department would have a real tough time without power and no repeater for their communications, and we could be that backup to help our local communications. And again, it's maintained by the club. It does require, just for, so you know, for an amateur radio, another layer of licensing, another test, but great communication. Our also goal is to be solar. and batteries and solar panels are needed. This is an example. This is not probably what we would buy, but it looked a lot like that. It would add to the GMRS repeater and our repeaters on the Milwaukee's Peak. We would buy, hopefully, that shack-in-the-box, solar panels, battery system. All of these items that we need, we're hoping to generate some funds between $30,000 and $40,000 to do that. And that's the reason for our presentation tonight. I know that Chief had some input that he wanted to also talk about.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. So, Mayor and Council, the thing that I'd like to add to this is as we look at continuity of operations, continuity of government within our community, we also look at resiliency. The FEMA used to say that you should keep 3 days' food supply in your house. They say 3 weeks now because 3 days doesn't work. Well, anytime there's an emergency, we think we can pull these out. They don't. They will not work. And if you watch some of the big events that happen, in fact, out at the golf course, if there's a tournament going on, I can't get on my phone because we're saturating that repeater for the cell phone towers. Now, as we look at this, there's a couple pieces to it. The GMRS, our goal is we want resiliency within our community. That's what Block Watch is. And so we want our Block Watches to adopt something like this where they can buy the little GMRS radios at Walmart, but communicate with the repeater, do check-ins, you know, whether it's once a week, once a month, but we teach them to actually communicate. In an emergency, you don't need a license. But without an emergency, while we're practicing, that's the time that we, you know, licenses are required for some of those events. Now, the GMRS is probably the cheapest for most people. You don't have to study. It's just you apply for it and they give it to you. Now, as we start going, as I see this club partnering with the city, we know that the Emergency Operations Center is the sheriff's office. They have no emergency communications to Camp Murray, which is the state emergency operations center. So we've got the expertise right here to get their system up and working and help them communicate if there was a county-wide disaster. Now, how many of you knew that a solar flare hit the world today? Anybody? Two people. We had a level 2 solar flare hit the world today. The Earth, the entire Earth is affected by that. It goes to level 5. A level 2 is minor. It'll just mess with satellites, mess with the power grid, mess with, you know, cell phone communication, stuff like that. I didn't experience any of that today. If it was a level 3 or a level 4, chances are cell phones would be down, our power grid would be compromised, and we'd be struggling. A level 5 is going to put us back in the Stone Age. Now, and I'm not kidding with it. That's the kind of, when I start looking at emergency management plan and we identify those threats, those are the kind of things we have to look at. Now, if we have a solar-based system with redundancy, we can actually stand it up when we need communications. And if you think, we have one police antenna. It's right here. If something happens, if we had, you know, a huge windstorm knocked that thing over, I have no communications other than direct radio to our police officers. If this building burned down, and that's where we talk continuity of operations, how would we handle calls, communicate from 911, and get the police, the fire, or the ambulance where they need to be? And that's where partnering with this club, we've got extra radios. We want them to create mini repeaters that they can actually stand up. They're not maintained here on site, but in an emergency where we lose communication, the ham club can go stand that up someplace. And to make that work, they have to practice. So things like when we're managing a parade or another significant event, the ham radio club could step in and actually help with the organizing of that and communication with it. And that's what we see in a lot. The Boston Marathon has ham radio operators staged all through it. We're not that, and I don't see any less, well, I'm not going to run American fines.
Come over.
But the, you know, this is using ham volunteers. We have with a club that is actually a nonprofit. We actually have an opportunity here to improve our resiliency, our continuity of operations, continuity of government, and I would seriously encourage council to consider this.
Thank you, Chief.
Any questions?
Council?
How does it coordinate with CB? Got all kinds of CB radios out there.
The question is, how does it communicate with CB? We don't. CB is a completely different frequency, a completely different platform.
Is that a way of communication during an emergency?
I think it is a layer of communication during an emergency. The question is, again, who has them? Is it trained? Can we communicate? That's a good question. I think the truckers, we have a lot of truckers in Othello that could do that, but we have no way to communicate with them unless I had another CB in my vehicle to do that.
Citizen band, John, CB is, you'd have to get any distance, you'd have to pump some power through it, and then there's some issues there. And it's kind of one of those bands that's kind of gone to where there's just a whole lot of interruption and just nefarious traffic. It's not as controlled.
Let me add a little to this. Ham radio operators watch solar cycles. We're in solar cycle 25 right now, which is supposed to last for 11 years. CB radio is actually going to become really good again when you can talk all over the place with it. Now, in an emergency type setting where we're trying to create communication, that I believe that's 11 meter radio frequency doesn't communicate directly with the ham or the GRMS, but the solution is really with the knowledge of radios, we would put the two radios side by side and we could then communicate between the two very well. So CBs are a big deal. In fact, my police department in Sunnyside, we used to have a CB in our dispatch center, and we would get tips. When CB kind of died, that kind of went away. GRMS and ham is actually quite a bit better, so a lot of truckers are going to the 2 meter and 70 centimeter protocols in their trucks, but CB is not.
Good.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
How many members do you have?
Right now we have, President, five?
Yeah.
We've had more in the past. We have about five right now.
So you only have five people?
Right now.
It's growing if you build a system.
You've got about seven or eight are going to join from this group tonight. I have a question, though, and it's just an intuitive question, Paul. So while the system with a solar, powered with solar system recharge, what about the handheld? If there's no power, how are we going to recharge my handheld?
It's a very, very good question. This is a battery. It still needs to be charged.
Yeah.
A small little solar panel that you could buy could recharge this as well. But it's a good question. Right now, we're just talking about repeaters and equipment to get the backbone up and running. But you and I need to have one of these in our back pocket, and you and I would have to have some way to charge it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen those systems they have now for backpackers that have a solar panel that can charge your phone and batteries and all kinds of things. So, and that's what it's made for, is that kind of thing.
So buy a radio and a solar.
Yep.
I think they're not very much either.
I think you need to put a payphone in City Hall so we have some communication. I lived half my life without that cell phone. More than half my life without that cell phone. I can remember going to a payphone and making a phone call using a dime. Okay? So if that cell phone died tomorrow and nobody could use one, wouldn't worry me one bit.
I remember when I was 11 years old, and the phone system, a payphone was put, it was a party line put at my house. We operated before phones, you're right. However, if emergency happened, if we were Katrina, what would happen? 37 days.
Look, I don't see a Katrina happening here. I might see a snowstorm or some weather inclination of a hard winter. But we always were pretty robust people. We get out with our tractors and our loaders and we clean things up. And, you know, I mean, aside from a volcanic eruption here in this part of the country, I don't see a Katrina.
Can happen.
This is the stuff I think about all the time, John. So let's just talk what could happen. We just had a level 2 hit us. That level 3 hits us, then our power grid's down. Level 4 or 5, chances are our power grid's down for 30, 40 years. But now, that's it.
But if you, those solar flares, they're going to interrupt the signal of those ham radios too.
Actually, with 2 meter, it makes it better.
Oh, wow.
The solar activity right now, chances are with a 2 meter radio, you could talk across the United States right now.
I'm not opposed to introducing this or supporting it at all.
Let me keep going, if you don't mind. I don't want to bring gloom and doom, but I'll give you 2 more seconds for brother. If we had a tsunami hit on the west side, that can affect us?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, when a couple hundred thousand people come to Othello. So now we're 1 million try to get here. We start talking and keep going with this. The dust storm, the ice storm, those are the normals that we obviously think of. A Hanford plume. We practice that with the emergency operations. But that's a very, so when we start looking at it, what are our low frequency, high impact events?
Hanford.
Hanford's very low frequency issue. Every once in a while it burps, they tell us it burps, and we have a concern. Well, it was about 100 years ago that I think a level 5 did hit the United States solar flare. It melted wires that were in the ground. So will that happen again someday? Will the tsunami hit? Those are pretty much guarantees. We just need to figure out how we're going to do it.
The tsunami is actually like 300 years overdue.
It's due to happen. So we're looking, John, I hope none of this stuff ever happens. We have to. Our job is to be prepared. This is a very low-cost addition.
I'm in support of it.
It's a good question to ask. What's the likelihood of it happening?
I mean, I would love to throw my cell phone away tomorrow and not ever have to use it again.
I got an extra handheld, John. We can start chatting on the SRG.
Well, if I want to go talk to you, I'll go talk to you.
Oh, okay.
Good to see you.
Fair enough. I mean,
this life right. We live where everybody's attached to an electronic device is nuts.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Okay. Did your watch just say you're welcome?
Yeah, it did.
That's funny. Her watch just said you're welcome.
Okay.
It was listening.
Right after Johnson.
Is there any other public testimony? Okay. So, City.
Hey, Sean, this is Bob Carlson. This is Bob Carlson. You here again? I could say something?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff I didn't quite understand. It's kind of hard to hear on a COVID meeting, but my thought was it looks like they're trying to get ideas to spend the money on. And my thought is on broadband, if they could figure out how to get fiber to the whole city, I think the city would be better off. I think that if they don't think there's a problem in Othello, all they need to do is go back and listen to the city council meetings when we were. You could meet online, and it showed where a lot of people had problems connecting. So my suggestion is to put money towards whatever it takes to get broadband in Othello and fiber to every house.
Are you suggesting that the city pay for those services or just to provide the backbone?
I wouldn't say provide the service, but to try to get it in a hotel where a private company could get it to the house.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. I know in the...
Thank you.
Yeah, I know in this, you know, priority list, one of those is a video conferencing system here to improve this because, you know, using, like if you just phone in, it becomes difficult to hear. We don't have proper sound system set up here, you know, for a meeting like what we're having here. It's just, it's kind of, like you said, it's difficult to hear, especially if people are across the room. And certainly we don't have cameras or anything. And so those are some things that our IT director, Abner Garza, is working on. In fact, he's was talking to me today about having a presentation at our next council meeting in 2 weeks. So those are things, yeah, we are working on those. The broadband, I know Vive has closed a lot of that gap, but it's only in the city. There's a countywide broadband meeting with the county commissioners tomorrow, and we'll have more information from them on their, you know, there is a lot of broadband money available, and it's something that we really, if it's available, this is when you need to do it. So I appreciate the comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in this public hearing? Okay. With that, I want to ask the City Council, do you want me to continue this hearing to November 1? And we'll further continue to seek comment, or do you want me to close this public hearing?
I'd like to hear more comment. There has to be more people out there to come up with money.
Yeah.
And there's also, there's things that the council would like to get considered. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of time to spend that money. We're not in any hurry.
Yeah, I agree with Corey.
Okay. That's what I thought. So I just thought I'd ask. So I'm going to continue this public hearing until November 1. Before I make that official, though, I want to ask Tanya, is that enough time to give public notice? Today's the 11th.
It's 36 out there.
We do? What date?
27 this, in the morning. It's actually 36 now. It's supposed to get warmer.
So what date is that set? Is that the 11th or no? It's November 8th. Okay. All right. Then
hopefully we had a hard summer.
I'm going to close the public testimony and ask council, do you guys have anything else? Any other further clarifications? Okay, we are going to have another public hearing on November 8th, so I'll close this public hearing at 7:21 p.m. Now I'd like to move to item 4C, the update to the Boyd Report. In 2014, the Boyd Company of Princeton, New Jersey, was retained by the Adams County Development Council and the city and county and the port had participated in funding that study. It was a preparation of a one-target industry cost study along with the identification of other sectors showing sound vocational fit and timely marketability for Adams County. The city and the county and ACDC split the cost. I said the port previously. The economic development mission must proceed on a selective and business-like fashion to targeting industries considered to have strong locational fit for Adams County and be able to work with, not against, regional and national corporate site selection trends. Since the recommendations of the Boyd report were released, some of the examples that have happened in Othello, McCain Foods implemented a $300 million expansion of their food processing plant, creating up to 180 new jobs. And Heinrich's Trading Company was purchased by Ardent Mills, a Fortune 500 company, who's the premier flour milling and ingredient company with a vision to be trusted, a trusted partner, nurturing its customers, consumers, and communities. They have plans for expansion of their operations in Othello. And if you look at the proposal, this is a statement that Jack Boyd makes. In today's global economy, comparative costs are influencing corporate relocation decisions like never before. This is particularly true within the food processing sector, which is generally low profit margins and the added cost burden of regulatory review, including heightened oversight by the Food Safety and Modernization Act. It's expected to play out under the new administration in Washington, D.C. Boyd is confident that this report will make a credible and convincing economic case for Adams County vis-a-vis competitive locations throughout the United States, especially California, housing the greatest concentration of food processing operations in the United States, and where the state's current economic drought, soaring taxes, contentious labor climate, and costly AB 32 greenhouse gas tax are forcing many companies in the food sector to look at alternative locations in the West. And on a broader scale, the new report for Adams County will be in sync with corporate America's current obsession with bottom line economics coming out of the pandemic. So the cost of this study is $15,500, which in the contract states is an all-inclusive amount. It'll update this 2014 study, and the city's portion is $5,166.67, and that would come from the general fund budget this year. So I'm recommending that we split that cost with ACDC and the Port of Othello.
So you want to split the $5,000 or the $15,000?
So our cost would be $5,166.67.
Yeah. So I had a question about this. In 2014 when they did this, my memory could be wrong, so I apologize if it's wrong, but it seems like the majority, we paid a good portion of it. We paid at least a third of it. And the majority of that study went towards Ritzville. Othello, am I wrong? Is this a study that was done for Othello?
This is the one that was done that said that Othello was the number one
in the nation.
In the nation for distribution and
I thought that
process and food processing.
So
yeah,
the distribution was Ritzville because of their transportation. Mm-hmm.
Othello was actually this, I think the distribution
and yeah, actually the actual report is here on our agenda items.
Yeah.
See what the
blueprint for action report. That's the actual report
no,
that
I believe,
we got.
I believe Othello was one of the big
that's not in the.
Because of
no, they recommended building it in Ritzville.
See, that's what I thought. It was the every it's
I-90,
right? The I-90 corridor.
That may be true, and I think you're right on that. However, as far as food processing, they ranked Othello as the number one place in the nation to most economically viable place in the nation to locate a food processing.
So basically what I'm getting at is this going to be for Othello, or is this going to be entire Adams County?
Okay, the county and ACDC have already retained the Boyd Company to do one for Ritzville.
Okay.
And so this is specifically for Othello.
Okay, that's what I was trying to find out.
Yes. Anything further?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
You want to make a motion? I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Shall we move to our unfinished business tonight? Is there any unfinished business council has?
Well, I just have a reminder that tomorrow we're doing the drive-by. The Xi Beta Xi group is doing the drive-by food drive. And
what are the times on that?
It's 4:30 to 6:30 on Main Street, and there's going to be a place on either side of the road to pull up and drop off either money or food donations for the food bank. Everything goes to the food bank.
I heard a warehouse location for itself.
Okay. Thank you. Any other unfinished business, council? Is there any new business, item six? Okay, I have a couple items. First one being the Adams County Fire District Commissioner meetings tomorrow night at 7. It's a Zoom meeting. I believe that's John, Mark, and John. So have you guys received the Zoom link for that meeting?
I was going to go.
Present.
Yep. Just okay. Going to go down there and be there. I mean, it could be a Zoom meeting for the public. Maybe I'll call Gary.
Yeah, I think they did that way last year. No, our last one. It had Zoom, but there was a few of us that were in the room.
Okay, that's just a reminder. And the final budget committee meeting is tomorrow over special revenue and debt. And that's Maria, Gina, and Mark. That'll be here tomorrow at noon.
Okay. No more debt. No debt. No more debt. No more debt.
More.
Spencer's going to review the debt we do have.
No.
No more debt.
He's going to try to make you guys alone.
Can't do it without you. So then I'll move to item 7A, which is the building and planning report. And having no further business to come before the city council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:30 p.m.
Excellent. This conference is no longer being recorded.
Hold this.